Turn in your Bibles and to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We're reading the entire chapter, verses 1 through 21. 2 Kings 20. Second Kings chapter 20, we'll start in verse 1. These are the words of God. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with the whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Then Isaiah said, "Take a cake of fig leaves." And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What will be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadows go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? So Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow turn backward 10 steps. Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow on the stairway back 10 steps, by which it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. At that time, Beladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Hezekiah listened to them and showed them all his treasure house, the silver and the gold and the spices, and the precious oil in the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasuries. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet came to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What do these men say, and from where have they come to you?" And Hezekiah said, "They have come from a far country, from Babylon." He said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasuries that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons who shall issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Is it not so, if there will be peace and truth in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, became king in his place. And that is the word of the Lord. One thing we must note about this chapter, chapter 20, is in Hezekiah's life, actually it comes before, in chronological or in time, before chapter 19. It happens before chapter 18, verse 13. Verse 6 shows this is before being delivered from the Assyrians. In verse 13, all the treasuries being full also show this. The first 11 verses, we see Hezekiah walking by faith. Verse 1, things aren't well. Hezekiah is sick. The prophet comes and says that he will die and not live. And it's this word from the prophet that stirs Hezekiah to pray to Yahweh. Verse 3, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And at this, knowing the shortness of life and response of faith and prayer, even his weeping bitterly, his outward expression of that, Yahweh sends the prophet back in. He shall be healed. Instead of death, there will be recovery. Instead of a funeral, there will be worship. Instead of defeat, deliverance. Yahweh shows us that he is the hearer of our prayers, the healer, the adder of years to our life, verse 6, and the defender of our lives. We also see that having Yahweh as healer does not exclude human means, verse 7. And Hezekiah asks for a sign that he will be healed. The prophet responds with the obvious. The sign will be when you do what the Lord just told you. The sign will be when you're healed. How will I know that I'm going to be healed? The Lord will heal you. That prophet responds, or the Hezekiah responds with wanting more. But here we learn that prayer matters. The Lord moves us to pray, uses our prayers to bring about his eternal plan. Another thing we see is the mercy and grace of God. Verse 1, we do not expect that when we come to verse 5, we'll hear what we hear of that Hezekiah will be healed. We don't expect that, and that is exactly because this is about the mercy and grace of God to him. The same mercy and grace that he grants to us and that you should expect from him. We see the remaining verses, Hezekiah not walking by faith, but walking in folly or walking by sight. He shows the son of the king of Babylon everything in his house, all the treasuries, everything. And these letters that are sent from Babylon when he's sick are surely not get-well cards from the king of Babylon. They contained an agenda. And it seems to suggest that some type of alliance at the beginning phases here is being sought together against Assyria, because we know that Assyria is going to come up against them and take over much, even all the treasuries. So some type of alliance is being done here. So he shows them all the treasuries he has. So what Hezekiah is doing is how we might describe leaning on Yahweh's arm and also leaning on Babylon's arm at the same time. Yahweh responds to this. There will be one day that nothing of all that you and your fathers had will be left. All be taken away. Some of your sons will be taken away. They'll be officials in Babylon. Exile will come. You cannot lean on my arm and Babylon's arm at the same time. You cannot serve two gods. You cannot love God and money. You can only serve one. You can only lean on me, says Yahweh here. And now you'll be punished for your disobedience, your lack of faith. Walking by sight. Hezekiah's response then to this, end of verse 19, shows his faith again. He struggles with faith just like we all do. But he shows his faith there right after his disobedience, right after the judgment to him and his family. And he says the Lord's word of judgment is kind and good. He understands Yahweh could have consumed him with fire right then for not believing, just like he could do so with us. He understands that he could have been judged greatly, and yet this judgment will be in the future, not to him, but to his sons after him. What do we see of Hezekiah? We see a man in him, a man who does better in his faith when things are bad, like most of us. When he is sick, when judgments are pronounced, then when things are good, when he's healthy and his treasuries are full. This is the king who trusts in Yahweh and for a time thought Yahweh needed a little help from Babylon. Beloved, we're like Hezekiah in these ways. We should suspect. We do seek things of the world to help us, our works to help, the methods of this world to help, to get us through. But what we learn here is all we need is Yahweh. And to not know that, not believe that, not to act in accordance with that, is disobedience and a lack of faith to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the gracious and merciful God, the God who is the same God, merciful and gracious to Hezekiah, who heard his prayer just as You hear our prayers now, and answered them. In accordance with Your mercy and grace, You healed him. And Father, You do good to us. Father, You are the God who expects that we worship You alone, because You command so, that we should have no other gods before You. We should worship no other gods before You. And so, Father, we thank You that You show us Your word very clearly here, reminding us again that the things of this world are vanity and are fleeting and will pass away and be burned up in the great destruction and fire of this earth at the right time. And that the only thing that remains is You. You are the most important. You're the one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the sustainer of our lives after You have created us. And Father, You are magnificent in Your glory. You are the Redeemer of God's people, buying us out of slavery and bringing us into Your family as children of God. You've adopted us. And Father, this evening we pray that You would make it so that we would believe every step of our lives. And yet even when we fall and turn from You in our sin, or cause us to know that every step of our lives, You alone are all we need. That prayer is important, that You hear prayer and answer prayer. Because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our mediator and intercessor, who still, as we'll remember again in John as we go to the Gospel, He still pleads for us, always making intercession for us, His people. Father, make us know, make us to realize, turn our hearts from the sin of thinking that we don't need You, but turn us to the knowledge and belief, faith, that all we need is You. Cause us to live in accordance with that truth. Teach us in Your word, which is truth, these things, that we will not forget, as we are likely to do. Father, as we go out from this place, surely we are going to be tempted to see things in the world, our physical things that we have that You've given to us, as needful, above and beyond our need of You. But Lord, let us see it as it truly is, that we need You, and You provide these things for us, for our good, so that we can survive, and we can be sustained, and we can live, that we can focus on You. It all comes from You. So let us not put our hope in presidents or governors or other nations to save us, but only You. And Father, in understanding that or thinking about that, we do pray for our authorities, our leaders, princes and kings in authority over us, husbands and elders. Father, Lord, we ask that You would save their souls, that You would produce in them godly life, so that You would cause them to live in accordance with Your word and rule in accordance with Your word alone. That we may live peaceable lives for Christ Jesus on this earth, as long as You would have us, that we may glorify You and serve You in all things. Father, forgive us of our sin. The sin that we live when we live often like Hezekiah lives here and described in this passage, still looking for signs, even though the sign is clear when the promise is fulfilled, and still searching after things of this world. Lord, as followers of you, just like Hezekiah, we ask that you would forgive us of that sin and turn us unto you, the living and true God, who is merciful and gracious to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.